All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where today I am speaking with Ms. Yvonne Carroll, who's Director of Patient Services at St. Jude's Research Hospital for Children. She is working from both perspectives, which a lot of you in the medical field can really appreciate. She has worked with this from the clinical perspective, as well as from the administrative perspective. Talk with us about what that helps you bring to the table, Yvonne, when you've worked with this from both aspects, clinical and administrative, and share with us what exactly that entails, and then let us know how that really benefits you in your service to that community.
Well, the one good thing is it actually lets you, when you're in the clinical, I tell people it's called being down in the trenches, and you actually get to deal with parents and children, and you get to see their concerns. And you get that every day, that relationship that you can't, you just can't get any other way. And I was privileged enough that while I was in the clinical side, I also was able to do home visits and actually go to people who lived in the local area. I went to their homes because it was easier for me to give them what they needed, as far as education-wise, answer questions in their home environment. It's more comfortable. And so we built a relationship. And so over the years, and I still laugh, I see people and they come up to me, and we're still friends over the years. You develop a true relationship, but you also get to see the needs.
Yes.
And going to administration, you get to see what it takes to make this happen. I mean, we all know it takes money to make, we pay for everything that the child needs, but we have to get money from somewhere to pay for it. And so you see the hard work and the dedication it takes. And I'm telling you, it really hit home. St. Jude is not immune to this economic recession that we're in at the moment. And our fundraising efforts are down by about 10%. And one of the things that Danny Thomas did was he started a fundraising organization so that St. Jude could continue. But the fundraising organization is wonderful. They take such a small percentage, one of the smallest percentage out of any fundraising organization to fund the hospital. Well, with this economic downturn, the fundraising organization decided, instead of passing that on to the hospital, which means making the hospital cut their budget, the fundraising organization laid people off instead. And so, you know, how many of us could truly say we would give to that extent that, you know, they said, we'll take the cost. We'll just cut our fundraising costs even more. And so you get to see the realities of what it takes to make this happen, to make the patients truly the most important people. And I'm telling you, everybody takes it to heart. The patients are the most important people. And another thing about St. Jude, and I'm going to stop and let you ask me questions.
You're doing fine. You're giving us the info we need.
But the research is, and it's truly a research hospital, because we want to find cures and treatments that we can give away, because we know we're one hospital. No matter how good we are one hospital. So we have to give it away to make an impact on people everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. But it's done in such a manner that our researchers are not isolated. Like in most places, researchers are in what we call an ivory tower, and they never get to see their patients. And the doctors have special cafeterias where they don't have to be bothered with the patients while they're trying to eat.
Right.
You know, and I don't have any problem with that. But at St. Jude, we don't mind. The doctors, our researchers, we eat in the same cafeteria. The patients can come up and ask any questions they want. There is no isolation in between, you know, the patients, and we have no special areas where our doctors and our staff can hide. And it's wonderful when you go in and you see people just sitting down, and you when I talked to the researchers, they also, one of them told me that he does research on cancer of the eye. And he's a lab guy. He never comes out of his lab, basically. But he was working with one of our clinicians to apply his treatment on mm-hmm. a child. And he said, can I watch the operation? And he went in, and he said he was struck. One, he said it was a big gurney hospital bed, and mm-hmm. it was a little bitty child. And he thought in his mind, that hospital bed is too big. The child shouldn't be, you know.
Overwhelmed by such a big
yeah.
bed. Huh?
And he never would have had that experience. And it you could tell when he was talking what an impact it made on him.
Mm.
He said, I had never before seen my research applied, and this made such a difference to be able to see it apply. So that's
amazing. I would think that by having the doctors, the researchers, the staff, the patients, their families, all eating together, you know, in the same room as opposed to different parts of the hospital, it seems like that would help them establish and strengthen that bond even more.
Oh, it does. It's phenomenal. I'm telling you, I just can't. And worldwide, they go, you know, all over the world to take the message to places that, you know, we think sometimes that we're poor and impoverished when you don't have running water. And so if you have a medicine that you have to mix with water, you can't even do that.
Mm.
I mean, we really are blessed with what we have.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, you know, to see them working really hard to try to help. And we have a parent came, had a child with sickle cell disease and had a bone marrow transplant. And by the way, I'm just going to put in a big plug for us. Because St. Jude found the cure for sickle cell disease.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. With bone marrow transplant. And I'm going to tell you the story because the story in itself is so touching. We had a child with sickle cell disease and leukemia, if you could believe it.
Mm.
And she was going to die if she didn't get a bone marrow transplant. And her brother was a suitable match donor. But at that time, St. Jude was just starting their bone marrow transplant. And they didn't have the facility set up, built yet. And so, and our doctors work with all other hospitals. They called around and got permission from the University of Alabama to use their facility. Now, the doctor, the child, the brother, the mother, they got in the car, drove down to University of Alabama, did the operation, drove back to St. Jude, and the patient was taken care of at St. Jude. She was cured for sickle cell disease and leukemia and is still alive and doing well today.
Awesome.
Now, talk about the implications that has. Every child who has been cured or every person who has been cured from sickle cell disease has been cured as a result of the research that was done at St. Jude.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things that I definitely wanted to ask you, and we can still look at this. I certainly wanted to ask, you know, what were some of the initial treatments that were being put into play for people with sickle cell anemia? And then, of course, I wanted you to go into a discussion where you are now. You know, what are some of the recent treatments that have been tried? When I say recent, like in maybe the last 10 to 20 years as opposed to, you know, the previous 80 years.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, what holds promise for the future when it comes to treatment of sickle cell anemia. But we're on the topic of bone marrow transplant. Talk with us about the effectiveness of that, not only at having cured, but how many people, what percentage of people with sickle cell anemia can count on this type of treatment? Is it something that would be widely available?
Well, and that's why we're still here talking about it, unfortunately. It's not something that's widely available. And the reason is that with bone marrow transplant, basically the donors, the best people who can give, and I'll just give you a brief description of what happens.
Okay.
When you get a bone marrow transplant, what has to happen is, first of all, the person's immune system has to be wiped out to the point it will accept another person, a foreign person.
So when we're talking bone marrow transplant, we're talking about transplanting an immune system as well.
Right. Well, what happens, you have to make it so that your, because your body is made so it will reject anything foreign.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't suppress it, if you try to put, and what happens when you, the blood, and I'll go back just a minute, the blood is made inside of the bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to do two things. You have to stop the production of that person's blood and suppress the immune system that would attack the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically give the person drugs to suppress that. Then you take the bone marrow, you take a needle and basically take some, like a chicken bone, you know, when you break it and you see that marrow in the middle.
Yes.
You take some of that out from the donor, and then you give it just like a blood transfusion into the person that you're giving. And what your hope is that that person will start making the donor's blood. So the donor doesn't have sickle cell disease, so you hope the person with sickle cell disease will start making donor that person's blood, and then they won't have sickle cell disease. And so that's just an overall of how it works. Now, the best people for donors are a full brother or full sister, because those are the only people who are genetically one half mom and one half dad.
Okay.
So those would be the best matches. But only 15% of full brothers and sisters even match.
So, really?
Right. So it's a very small percentage of people who will, one, have a donor available, so who can take part of this. And two, the one thing about sickle cell disease is that the child looks healthy. And if you know someone who has sickle cell disease, outwardly, most people with sickle cell disease look healthy, especially young children.
Yes.
And so there are some risks with bone marrow transplant. There's the small risk that the child could die, and then there's the risk that other things could happen. So parents, you know, we don't want to do anything that will hurt our children. And when we look at a child that looks healthy and we say, well, yes, they can have a cure, but they could have bad things happen with the cure,
mm-hmm.
parents are reluctant to do that. And so when they want to have it is when something bad has happened, like a child has had a stroke from sickle cell disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then parents want to have it. Well, if they have a donor, they can have it, but it can't reverse the damage done by the stroke.
Okay.
So that's kind of the catch-22. There is a cure, but it's not a readily available cure.
But y'all stay with us. There is still hope. We're listening to Miss Yvonne Carroll. She is a director also for the Comprehensive Sickle Cell Centers Grant at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. We will be right back. Stay tuned so you can get more of this very, very relevant information.